friends, it's Ken Carmen.
And Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I think the reason I stopped using tanking is it became a catch-all for any rebuild. And that's the thing that I was like, guys, that's not tanking. Like, there is the off-season tanking where everybody gets on the same page and says, we're going to tear this thing down and we're going to be so bad that we're unwatchable. And everybody knows that. And then there's the thing that happens where you get in the season, you're not good, and you're like, well, let's not win too many games and screw us in the long run.
Yeah,
I think those are different versions of the same thing, but that's not that. That's a tributary of rebuilding, not necessarily the kind of linchpin. But in studio now with us, you know him, you love him, of The Athletic NBA reporter Joe Vardon joins us. What's up, buddy?
You know, tanking happens in the NBA every now and then, too.
I think there was a team here around the town that might have done that once or twice. So just on that point of tanking, though, have you kind of seen that? That word, which I think is very definitive and specific, has kind of been morphed into more of like a broader term that maybe it doesn't apply to everything.
Absolutely. Yeah. First of all, players never tank. Mm-hmm. They are never involved in that. When they are playing for money in a violent sport like the NFL or even in the NBA, when they are on the floor, they're trying to win. They do not care about the future. That's one. The coaching staffs, they may care. They may participate in tanking. And the way that you would see it, at least in our sport with the NBA, is when you get into the fourth quarter and, you know, the coach is playing a lineup that's competitive and is keeping it close against a team like Cleveland that's very good. And then they pull those guys with 5 or 6 minutes left. That is a coach participating in tanking. The front office is ultimately the part of the organization that's going to decide this group isn't working, or we need to get worse so we can get better. And that's when, you know, trades are made where it looks like they're trading away players they were counting on this year.
All right, Joe, I don't have too many pressing Cavs questions for you.
Okay.
There's just a couple. Obviously, everyone knows how good they are, how expected this season is supposed to go. We'll get to the postseason side of it in a second. I do want to ask you about Malik Beasley, though. Mm-hmm. It's the hot name over the previous 24 hours. Shams had the report out there that there was interest. If he does, in fact, get cleared, Malik Beasley to the Cavs. Make it make sense.
Well, I mean, from a fit standpoint, you have to think about Max Strus being out for months. You know, if he plays at all, it won't be until after the All-Star break. And so behind him, you know, there's DeAndre Hunter, who they're going to count on a ton. But they're pretty young. I mean, they're going to look at Jalen Tyson at getting some minutes. And so, you know, Beasley is a knockdown three-point shooter. He's been around forever. I think he would be a really good veteran presence in a vacuum. This idea about the NBA investigation into the gambling stuff, like, that's no small thing. And that is the reason that he's not on a team. So, yes, of course, the Cavs are interested. There are going to be other teams that are interested too and might even be able to pay a little bit more money than what the Cavs can offer. But just because Malik's agent is out there saying, he's been cleared, you know, by this group or by that group, like, the investigation is still ongoing and he's not out of the woods yet.
Joe, I'm curious because at the end of the postseason, when the Cavs got bounced out by Indiana, there was that same message for a second year of, we got to get tougher. We got to get, and in fairness, they did specify we got to get stronger in the gym, that kind of stuff. And then at Media Day this year, they were like, we don't need to get tougher. So I'm just curious. One, did you notice the change in messaging there? And is toughness still a debate for this Cavs team heading into year two of Kenny Atkinson?
Well, it has to be because of the way these postseasons keep ending. They either end with way too many players out with serious injury or with nagging injury. You know, people forget that Caris LeVert 2 years ago missed game five against Boston with a knee bruise. I mean, that was stunning. You know, that's just not something you see in New York or with Indianapolis or any of the teams that we consider to be tough. You know, obviously the series against the Pacers turned when in game two you didn't have Garland, Hunter, or Mobley in uniform, and they were all questionable coming into that game. So that suggests there was a chance they could play. Now, if we want to get into the semantics over, you know, were these guys actually questionable or was that some gamesmanship, fine. But the fact is, you know, the word toughness factors into that.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.
I think after an off season, you know, a chance to let your pride heal, I could see the Cavs coming in and saying that that's not the issue. I'm not sure it's the issue either. You know, this is something that I've been saying. I've said it on your show a number of times. You know, my main concern with this team is just they have two smaller guards that they rely on in a playoff series, both very talented, great players. But NBA history tells you that it is really hard to win with two guards starting who are 6'3 or under. And that's what we have with Donovan and Darius. That's my main thing. Like, I feel like Jared Allen could be fine in the right playoff series. I think Evan Mobley is going to continue to get better. His arms are even bigger than they were a year ago. You know, so like, I like this team. I like to downplay the toughness angle. But until they show that they can win with the two smaller guards playing together, I think that's the biggest question.
Yeah, how many years do we do this, though? You know, and I get it. Kobe constructed this team. He's going to fight for it more than anybody else. But how many years do we do this where you have two smalls and then two, obviously, with between Allen and Mobley, just two bigs? Like, it's between your front court and your back court, it doesn't make sense for a lot of people.
Well, Jonathan, that is the fundamental question going on in the NBA right now. Not just in Cleveland, but now it's being talked about in Orlando. It's being talked about in any city where the team has taken on a bunch of salaries to go and try and win. Because of the current salary rules in the NBA, it's genuinely believed right now that when you take on multiple max contracts, your window to compete with that particular team is a couple of years. The thinking goes that if after a couple of years you're spending all this money and you don't get there, that the restrictions on how you can change your roster based on how much you're paying your guys are too severe to keep that group together. So we're saying that if Cleveland doesn't win now, they're going to break this team up because of how expensive it is. But Dan Gilbert's a really rich guy. And if he wants to pay for this roster continually, he can. There's no rule that says that he can't. It's just that if you're going to keep this group together, it becomes even more difficult to make a trade around the edges to improve the group that you already have. So long way of saying, like, it might be this year where they've got to really get far in the playoffs or there's going to be a big move made.
Joe Varden of The Athletic, live here in studio with us. So I know your most recent or one of your most recent pieces on The Athletic was about this, but walk us through what Project B is.
Project B, and this is going to sound corny, Project B has kept me up at night because of what it actually represents. You know, I'm a huge golf fan. I think you guys know that. Certainly all the golf courses in Northeast Ohio know that, how I've spent my last couple months. So I'm really into the PGA Tour, really know a lot about, you know, the split with LIV Golf, which is where some of the stars left to start a new league, a new tour that was paid for by the public investment fund in Saudi Arabia. That same movement is either underway or is certainly like rustling, you know, in the shadows towards being underway. And that is what Project B is or was. It's a group of investors. Two of them are from Silicon Valley. They count the Saudis as a partner. And they went ahead and they tabbed Maverick Carter, who we all know as a fellow Northeast Ohioan and is one of the closest people on earth to LeBron James, as an advisor. And for the last year plus, they have been raising billions of dollars, although like raising is a little bit of a funny word when your partner is the Saudis. you don't need to raise money. But they've been going around, they've been securing investors, and they've been talking to players and talking to player agents about this idea of a second option to the NBA. That's live basketball. And that, you know, it's been a fear, I think, for any other pro league since the moment that live golf was started. But, like, that was something that appeared to be heading towards, you know, fruition in the NBA as recently as a couple days ago.
Is this more, real quick, because we do it, we are up against it, is this more WNBA based right now with the NBA in the future, or is the NBA pretty intermediate right there too?
So, right. I mean, this is a much longer story. I think based on a few things that have happened in the last week or so, the talking point from Project B right now is they're trying to start a rival women's league. But if they are successful, and by successful, I mean, if they get a Caitlin Clark, if they get another massive WNBA superstar or a couple of them and pay them nine figures, trust me when I tell you that NBA players who are free agents in the summer of 2027, they're going to see that and they are going to be very interested.
Joe, always great stuff, man. Great to have you in studio here. Thank you so much for your time, bud.
Oh, thanks for having me. It's been great.
Joe Vardon, The Athletic on the Fan Hotline. We will react to that and some of those comments there in the lead at 5. But we got Lindsay Rhodes of Sumer Sports coming up in 5 minutes. Did the Greg Newsom and Joe Flacco trade surprise her? And is this tanking? That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Hey friends, it's Ken Carmen
and Anthony Lima.
Did you know that the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima is both a radio show and a podcast?
You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by the hour, or jump straight to the highlights.
Just open up your favorite podcast app, search our names, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show.
Your way and on your time.